So last week we covered Kufnun Aleph, Kufnun Beis. So in Kufnun Beis we had this issue with the non-Jewish weddings. They go into the non-Jewish wedding, it seems like it was prohibited. And we talked about them. Well, maybe it's okay, Mishum Eifa. So it happened to be this past week where Mordechai Willig gives these, quoted from them before, these conference calls for Rabbanim, where he just email questions in and he just rattles off 10 answers in a row and over half an hour or so. So this was one of the questions. One of the questions was, my coworker is getting married. Am I allowed to go to the wedding? Oh, she's getting married in a church and the party is going to be someplace else. Can I? And he said, nope. He said, you shouldn't. He said, if you need to go, you can go, but you shouldn't eat a thing. I mean, it was based on the Gemara, where the Gemara says that you're eating from the Mizbeach of the Akum, etc. So even though it was a religious ceremony, right. But then it was the wedding was someplace else, I would assume that there wasn't much religion going on at the party, but still, you assume that that would fall under this gezeirah, where one should avoid eating there.
Usually, there's not much to eat.
Okay.
Or you could have a drink.
Well, or
you shouldn't even have a drink.
Or if they get you kosher food, even let's say they get you kosher food, or there is fruit or things like that, so you should avoid eating and drinking.
Even if it's kosher food.
That was the
Even so something you shouldn't have.
That was the impression I got, yeah.
What about if it's like Unitarian?
Right, so I had two questions.
Actually,
I have three questions. Yeah, three questions that follow up. I don't know the answer to any of them. Number one is, right, what if it is a totally non-religious wedding? I mean, it's the justice of the peace and totally secular. Or even more, what if it's a Noachide wedding? I have a friend who was once got a call from people saying, would you marry us off? And like, well, are you Jewish? No, we're actually not Jewish, but we're Noachides. We consider the Jews the true religion, and we're very happy that we don't have to observe all those mitzvahs. But we want to get married. That is one of the seven mitzvahs for Noach, so we, who should we go to do our wedding? So he was going to do it, ended up not working out. I also actually got a call like this. There was a couple who they were going to convert together, and they had gotten married in a non, I don't remember if they had gotten married or not. I think they had gotten like a partnership or something. So, but they weren't going to be able to convert for a while, but they were living together. So maybe they should get married non-Jewishly while they're living together, while they're still studying for conversion. So I remember discussing it. I never ended up doing it. I don't remember what the reasons were, pro or pro or con, but those questions. So that's number one. What if it's if it's an absolutely non-religious issue? Another question I had is, what if they hire you to be the caterer? So is there an issue there? And is there an issue with the caterer eating some of the food, some of his own food from the wedding? That was an issue. And then what if you're the waiter? So that actually happened to me. When I was in high school, I was a waiter for a pretty prestigious caterer. And we actually did a party once at Gracie Mansion, which is, for those people from Philadelphia, that's where the mayor lives. So Mayor Giuliani was the mayor at the time. And he was one of the Masader Kedushins for a mixed marriage. It was a Irish and a Jewish marriage. So I didn't know this going in, but that was, and there was a rabbi and a priest that did the marriage together. So is that problematic to A, eat there, B, serve there, and if you're serving there, are you allowed to eat there? So those are all questions that I have out on the table that I had. I would need
but
to
what
get
about the Unitarian? What if it's a Christian sect that does not believe in the Trinity?
No, so I think that's still a problem. I think that's worse. I mean, we had that shach. The shach said even if they're not akum, even if they're not violating a avodah zarah. So okay, but I mean, right? So I mean, including Muslims. So Muslims would be problematic. But what if it's a totally secular marriage and that it's not? Like even a marriage, it's just a connection. Does that perhaps make it better? I would assume the answer to that is no. But I would look for an official psak before we come to a conclusion on that. So anyway, so that's finishing up from last week. This week is All right, we'll see what we're talking about very soon. Says the tour in Kufnun Gimel, "In ma midin behemus bepundakios shalahen, afilu zacharim etzel zacharim, v'nekevos etzel nekevos, v'neshachashudin al haravia." One is not permitted to leave their animals behind in a non-Jewish pet hospital or something, or a pet inn.
That's what a pundakios.
Yeah.
It's
Right, in an inn, but now you're leaving with, to leave your animal with a non-Jew.
Yeah.
That's what the Torah says is a problem. Because there's a concern for bestiality. Now, first of all, there's a big assumption there, right? The assumption of a statement like that is that there's a significant amount of non-Jews that would be involved in revia, would be involved in bestiality. The second assumption then is let's say they are doing that, so what, right? Is there some kind of requirement for one to shield your animal from being sodomite? I'm not sure even what the term is, but what the verb is. But is there some kind of requirement for that? So I think the Rishon really saying that it's an issue of lifnei iver, which, right, but whenever you then get into lifnei iver, so then it automatically whittles it down. It's not making them doing it, they don't have to do it. That's what the Mishnah says, the Beferish Mishnah, the beginning of the second. Name of the second parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah is parak Ein Ma'amidim, and it's based on this line: Ein Ma'amidim Behemos Bepundaki Yisholhem. So one is not permitted to do it. Okay, so let's see how that plays out. V'goy Matzui Eitzel Eishes Chavero Hilkach Aser Afilu Nekevos Eitzel Chavero Eitzel Nekevos. And there are non-Jewish males that hang out with non-Jewish females. So even to leave your female animal by a female is problematic because the guy is going to show up and take advantage of that situation. And certainly not to have, female animals by males, nor males by females. Male animals by females, as the males will show up. Yeah, not because we're concerned about the non-Jewish woman, but we're concerned about her non-Jewish boyfriend.
The latter part is talking about males. Before it said even females with females and males with males. That's when they brought in the boyfriend.
Right, and it's Eitzar Chlor in the Kevus Eitzel Zacharim v'Zacharim Eitzel Nekevus. Although I don't. Yeah, I think the priest. I think somebody didn't change it. Mishum Shehar. No, that's what the. Oh no, you're right. That's what the Prisha says. The Prisha says we're concerned about the girl being involved with the animal. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Rambam actually says that a woman shouldn't have a door, a male door.
Okay. Meaning even a Jewish woman. Yes. Okay.
If she was a mom.
Then he comes and says, nor should you send a child to learn to go to school. Because it's a problem of, well, it's not clear what the problem is. We'll get to that. For Rabbeinu Tam, Pasuk Shemutu Lahamid Eslam Behemus Dekaima Lunch Ein Hashud Na'al Ravi. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it is permissible to leave your animals by them because we are not concerned about Raviya. So what is that? How does Rabbeinu Tam get off saying that? The Mishnah says that we are concerned about Raviya. So that is the first Tosfos in Maseches in that parak. So let's.
So you're saying you can't go to a non-Jewish school because you're concerned?
That seems to be what it says, yeah. That seems to be what it says.
But we don't. Is it the same reason? Or,
well, hold on.
Because it seems to be the same.
Hold on. Okay. That's what it sounds like. Right, it does sound like it. So what does the Beis Yosef say here? So the Beis Yosef points out, yes, that's a mission at the beginning of the second parak of Avodah Zarah. In Ma'amidim, that's the first block area. Okay. Right, and there it says, and Rashi comments because of the idea of lifnei iver lo titin michshol, right, not to violate lifnei iver. Next, it says, afilu zacharim itzel zacharim, even that, because we have to have the same concern. And then it says, by nekevus itzel nekevus, because there, it gives the reason, shagoy mitzum itzel nesheichavim, because the boyfriends will show up and they'll do it anyways. Okay, skip to the next block section. It says the price and the next one. Okay, so it says Rabbeinu Tam pasuk shemutu l'hamid etzlam behemos dekaimul and in chashud na'al revi. So Rabbeinu Tam says that we don't have to worry about it. So why does Rabbeinu Tam get to say that if the Mishnah says you do have to worry about it? So sham kasuva tosos. So there, that's what the tosos and the Rush and the Mordechai, they all say. Yishlitin tam ama anu somchen ata liyachid b'hima sani mahem. That this is a kasha that seems to pop up several times over the course of Maseches Avodah Zarah, where the Rishonim, the European Rishonim, the Bali Tosos say, well, we see people do this all the time. So they got to have some kind of justification to doing it. So again, maybe they don't, right? But that is an assumption amongst the Bali Tosos that if people are doing it, there must be some kind of justification. So how does he, the Yachid B'Matein Rimam, Ba'af Anu Mosrim Behema Seinu, L'Roa Shalhem, right? And we will give our sheep to their shepherds. So Rabbeinu Tam, Desamchinen Ahad Mishani, Rav Pedas B'Gemara, the Moki Masnisin Rabbi Eliezer. So we're so meich on the answer that on the answer that Rabbi Pedas gives in the Gemara, who says that we that the Mishnah is holding like Rabbi Eliezer, the Chayish the Revia, Uvraisa the Lochin Mehem Behema the Korban, the Lochashim the Revia, Karabanav Anam Kaimalan Karabanan. And the Braisa where it says that one is permitted to bring the Behema for a Korban is was we're not concerned of Revia, and that's holding like the Rabbanan, and we hold like the Rabbanan. What's that talking about? So that Mishnah says what the Mishnah says. You're not allowed to leave the animals by the non-Jews, and the assumption, and it seems like, because we assume that there's going to be Revia, there's a concern of bestiality. The first kasha in the Gemara is, wait a second, forget about that, everybody does it. That's not what the Gemara asks. The Gemara asks, we have a Braisa that seems to say that it's okay. The Braisa, there's a Braisa that says that if that one is permitted, that if one purchases an animal from non-Jews, one is permitted to bring it as a korban. But wait a second, if the non-Jew is going to sodomize, again, I'm not sure that's the term, but bestialize, is that really the verb? Okay. If the non-Jew is going to bestialize it, so then that animal is not royal in Mizbeach. You're not allowed to bring the animal in Mizbeach. So how could one just assume and put it on the Mizbeach? So the Gemara gives two answers. The first answer that the Gemara gives is that which animal would the non-Jew bestialize? Only a Jewish animal. A animal that they don't own. Because there was an assumption that bestializing an animal is damaging to the animal. Certainly damaging to the female, it will ruin her reproductive abilities, but even damaging to the male, and for whatever reason, that's what the Gemara assumes. So therefore one can assume that if you're buying an animal from a non-Jew, nothing happened to that animal because no non-Jew is going to ruin their animal. But they're borrowing an animal from somebody else. They're watching an animal from somebody else. So then they'll have a good time. So that's the first answer that the Gemara gives. So the second answer that the Gemara gives is that we don't pass like the Mishnah, that we have a Braisa that seems to go against that Mishnah. That we pass them like the Rabbanon, let's say that most non-Jews are not choshesh for this, and that's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer who says that we are choshesh for that. So then Tosfos goes on and says, "Va'afal gad the stam masnisin." Right? What do you mean? We generally, if we have a stam masnisin, we pass them like that. They imam midim. So it's a whole parak named after that Mishnah. We don't pass them like that. So we call makom leisel chasakava. Say we don't pass them like it. Why? Kimen sheyesh machlokas b'mesachas para. Right? Ubetrei mesachlos uchuli alma. In Seder Adkein, that if one looks in the first parak, that's the first mishnah of the second parak of Avodah Zarah. And the first mishnah of the second parak of Maseches Parah, it says that you're allowed to purchase the Parah Aduma off of non-Jews, and one doesn't have to worry that they were, has machlokas about whether one would have to worry about it. And there, the Rabbanan Paskin, that it's okay, that we don't have to worry about it. So we see that there is such a machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rebbe Eliezer. That Tosfos, I read through that Tosfos today, Tosfos is interesting, because the Tosfos then goes on to say that Rabbi Pedas gives one answer against a different... Tosfos is a source, I believe, for the idea of halacha kibasrai. We follow the leader, I forget who the two Amoraim were, but it says that, even though Rabbi Pedas is the earlier Amora, in which case we would probably paskin like the other Amora, this is an exception to the rule, and it gives a couple of reasons why this is an exception to the rule. So it's interesting, because that... I thought it was the Rush who was kind of the first one. There it seems that we also have Halacha Kibasrai. The Rush is the first one who came with that. We keep sharing this couple. Halacha Kibasrai is that you follow the later opinion, which is a little bit odd because we generally assume we follow the earlier opinion. Right? But really, when you're in the same division, we follow the later opinion. So amongst Amoraim, you follow the later Amora. Within Rishonim, you follow the later Rishonim, because the assumption is they saw what was written earlier, and if they have the guts to disagree, so there must be a good reason why they're disagreeing. So like we would pass like Rav Moshe against earlier Chronimov, because he saw what they said and talked about it and said what he said. So I think the Rush is the first one to extend that concept beyond the idea of Amorayim and into the realm of Rishon and Achronim, but also, so you see here, invokes that idea with regards to the Gemara itself. The Ran permits it for another reason. That's because they're choshesh on that, and maybe we have different places that aren't. The Ran says that's by some goyim or stam goyim, but where I live. The Ran lived in Spain, right? Where I live in Spain, so we have enlightened Gayim. She'im chashudim zeh, right? That they're not concerned that they would do such a thing. Adarava, makim ve'onshin alam mutter. That somebody who's caught doing this type of activity, so they're going to get beaten up. So what's going to get beaten up? You don't have to be concerned that's going to happen. So therefore, there's this whole host of achronim, of rishonim that say that the Mishnah says what the Mishnah says. Either we don't paskin like the Mishnah, or perhaps, as the Ran says, times are different, so one doesn't have to be choshesh for that. Okay?
There was recently this case in New Jersey where the guy was convicted, I think. He died, I think, he was molesting his horses. They were male horses.
Uh-huh.
And somehow, well, maybe they were molesting him.
Oh, no, it happens.
He got himself killed doing that. It's
considered to be cruelty. Oh, no, I have no doubt that it happens these days. But and it could be that the Ran doesn't hold true anymore. You know, the Ran says they would make it up. I would say, what do you mean? Equality. I don't know. You could come up with some kind of concept as to why, and we'll sign them a letter. You know, whatever. You can. But that's what the Ran. That was, at least was the assumption then. So I assume nowadays the minhag is that what?
The law is against it.
There are
both cruelty animals.
Okay.
Doesn't mean you won't do it.
Okay. All right. Anyways, so comes the. So what about that business with the in motion tino kolamdo, not giving over, right? So what is the concern there? So the Risha does say, that's based on Rashi in Avodah Zarah, a couple of dafim earlier, so in the first paragraph of Avodah Zarah, and it says the reason is v'atam yishu mishkav zachar. So Rashi suggests, he gives two reasons. So one is there is a concern that they're going to be sodomized. And then, umishum demoshko leminus, that they're going to be led towards minus, that they're going to be led towards the religion of whichever non-Jew they're hanging out with. So even according to those Rishonim that say that you're allowed to give animals to non-Jews, tinok aser, they would be prohibited, mishum minus, because of the minus problem. Even if you give them in front of Edom, where you don't have to worry about Shvichas Dam, meaning there's an additional issue of just having Yichud with non-Jews, because that could lead to, there's a concern that they might kill you. There's a concern of Shvichas Dam. That's also found, that we'll get up to that. But the...
He seems to be ignoring the Ravia problem.
Right, so he seems to not as be concerned about the Revi issue, but he is concerned about the Minas issue. So I couldn't find anybody that spoke about this.
Molestation is a big problem.
Molestation is once again a problem, yes. And I would the only thing I find through some Google searches is that the OU had on the OU website they had a guide to having non-Jewish in-house help, and they mentioned that one has to be on the watch for this type of activity, there are cases of children, you know, kids saying Shema at night, and like their parents will put their kids in bed, and the kid will then get out of bed and then kneel on the side of the bed and start saying Shema. So, and then quoted some rabbis commenting that why is it they were so careful about hashgacha on our meat, but we're not as careful about hashgacha on our children. So, but beyond that, meaning, so, but how is it even okay? Meaning, forget about whether you have to check up on them. How is it okay in the first place to have in-house help? Where
supposedly it's your domain and you have influence on them, they have fear of you. Or...
yeah, except it doesn't say that here.
I'm just trying to give you
right. So one could come with those types of ideas. There is maybe we'll see it in the. Somebody comments that nowadays there are laws against this kind of thing. Okay. So I didn't see anybody black and white say, and therefore it's okay. Because
babysitters for many years.
Things have changed. No, but going to a non-Jewish tutor. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Going to
a day camp one time.
I also went to a day camp that was not Jewish. But a day camp, it might be, could be better. There's a lot of people around. This sounds like you're going to a tutor. Rabbi Mosfim Lamtinok Lamdo Sefer O Umnus, to go learn in school or to learn a job. So what is the heter? I don't know. Yeah, over the course of next week, we'll try to take a look.
Kind of like boarding situation.
Okay, so we have to find what the... again, okay, you have to go and find what the source is for that distinction. Someone has to make that distinction. All right, so if one looks in Shulchan Aruch, so in Kuf Nun Gimel, Kuf Nun Gimel Sif Aleph, So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ema mida behim b'pindakel shalod dekachavim ve'im mosim behim l'roa shalhem ifnei shehem chashudin al haravia." One is not permitted to give the animals to the shepherds or to these inns, to the pet watchers, the pet whatever they're called when people go away. They shehem chashud
pet
hat. No, there is something else. In a place where people aren't hoshed for it, and just the opposite, they get beat up for doing these kinds of things, so then it would be mutter. So that reflects the Shita for Bein Tam in the Ran that we saw. Then he has the Ramah, in most of them, Tinok Lamdo Sefer, O Lamdo Umnas, the Mashkilei Luminas. That one is not permitted to give a child to learn in school or to be taught a trade. Because they will be led to Minos. I mean, it leaves out the Revia issue. The Ramah here leaves out the Revia issue, but still includes the Minos issue. So how does one avoid that? And what is the Heter? So we'll have to see.
What do you think the Mechaber left to that?
The Mechaber left that because it's in Rashi. It's not in the Gemara. Rashi puts it. So
maybe because he was in the Muslim country.
But it still could be Minos.
Yeah, no, it's not in the Gemara. The Torah has it, so, and the Torah quotes it from Rashi, and Beis Yosef points out that it's Rashi. Okay, and then Sif Beis is Lo Yisyachid Yisrael Imov Yikachavik Deshim Chashidim Al Shvichas Damim. Right, that's the next thing. It's actually the next thing in the Beis Yosef. It's also in that Mishnah. In that Mishnah, it says one is not permitted to have Yichud with a non-Jew because we're afraid that they're going to afraid that they're going to kill us.
Isn't it an issue that you're not supposed to go to a non-Jewish barber?
Yes, I also heard that. It's not in this simon. But yeah, there is such a concept.
I don't think it's the same. Sort of similar. I mean, you're afraid that he's going to like cut you or something?
Yeah, no, that is a question. Why it's not in the same place. I'm not sure where, I believe that is in Shulchan Aruch. I'm just not sure where. Maybe in Or Chaim and there's like one simon that talks about these like good advice kinds of things. Maybe it's there. So with this issue, with regards to the shvich, with regards to the not the shvichas dam issue, the chashudim issue. So if you the first of all, it says chashudim al haravia. Let's do it inside. But the Taz points out that who says the non-Jews are prohibited to do it? Who says the non-Jew? Who says that revia is prohibited to non-Jews? I mean, how do you know that? So the Taz points out that of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, one of them is a prohibition of immoral activity, right, of Gilei Arayos. And then Taz goes on and says, what is that based on? That's based on the pasuk of Vayu Lebasar Echad. There should be one basar, meaning it should be a male and a female. Which does imply, right, that not just bestiality is an issue, but also homosexual relations is also a prohibition upon non-Jews as well. That's what one would seem to learn out from this Taz. The Pesach Tshuva comments about being chashud. So the he says, "Ayin beher hitev b'shem tat Pesach Tshuva aleph." The behima hanirvas mutar b'achil. Says, okay, what happens if it happened? So Berahitiv says, okay, it happened. The animal still, you're allowed to eat the animal. There's no, it doesn't mean that the animal becomes treif. It just means you can't bring it as a korban. So that's what he quotes from the Berahitiv. It says, V'chein kasa v'tshuvas beis Yaakov, simakuf yud ches, ela shakasa demikom makom, l'chad chila asur l'shokhta, k'dei lechom imena, rakim kar lovid kuchavim. Ideally, it's prohibited to shecht in order to eat. Rather, you should sell to a non-Jew. I'm not sure what it's based on. Uvamakum she'ein obdi kacham ochlim behema nitshinir vas asher limper lehem. But if the non-Jews won't eat it, you're not allowed to sell it to them. I mean, I assume that means you're not allowed to trick them. I think that's what he's driving at. No, I don't think it's lifnei iver because they're. What's lifnei iver? There's no sin for them to eat it. If they're telling right, I don't think you're allowed to fool them. I think that's what he's saying.
It's not lifnei iver to fool someone.
No, it's gnevah. I mean, you're being trusted to tell them something.
Lifnei iver only applies to mitzvah. Lifnei iver was like giving people bad advice.
That might be, but that's not this. Someone comes and says, "Hi, I want to buy that tomato. Is it organic?" And you say, "Yes, it is organic," and it's not organic, right? So they eat it, they buy it. So you didn't violate lifnei iver; you violated gezeila, right? So or gneva.
You charge them more,
right? Yeah. You charge them more. Yeah,
it was regular.
So Achein, however, this is, I'm not sure what he said. He seems to say that if you're concerned that a Jew's then going to shecht it and eat it, then you are allowed to sell it to the non-Jew. I don't know why that would be. V'chein adin b'shor shenagach es ha'adam. Similarly, if a shor was nogach es ha'adam, umeis, and the man died, so that shor is supposed to be killed, right? V'chachila asu l'shochti, you're not allowed to shecht it, k'dei lechol mimenu v'di evid mutter, in order to eat it. But if it was shechted, then it would be okay. So, I mean, meaning a shor shenagach is a beis din rule. So in the absence of a beis din, I guess it's you can't rule that it's aser b'hana. So the ayin b'tshuva is yad aliyahu, simulam hanesha cholik alav, v'masha kasa d'asul chachila yisrael lishchot behema hanirvas, delasi. So there's no issue with that. V'al dimutaras b'achila, mitzvah l'shochtu miyadachka. Right? Not only is it mutter to eat, but you should try shechted as soon as possible. And not to sell it, and leave it be alive. I believe that's also based on a ma'aseh basin, that if a person is put to death because of bestiality, so the animal is killed as well. I think that's like learned out from Balak or something. I think that's Balak.
His donkey.
His, something to do with his donkey died at the same time as Balak.
Bilam.
Bilam's donkey died at the same time as Bilam, so too this animal should be put to death. So it's interesting about this. What?
It's supposed to be an embarrassment.
Right. So technically that halacha is only if that guy actually does get put to death. Right? But it's interesting here, you see two cases in this Pesachei Tshuva that he's commenting that even though the animal in theory, if there was a basin alive and would cause this animal would need to die, we don't have a basin, so therefore there's no technical isser hana on that animal. It's not technically labeled with anything, but yet there still seems to be an idea to take care of that animal, to get rid of it. Not, that shouldn't be alive much longer. Okay. Wait, what else? But there is...
I think it's a halacha that you can't put an animal to death with a basin.
Right, so we're saying to shecht it instead.
So shechting is not putting to death. It's just what
you don't need killing it. We don't need 71, you need 20.
No, but it's not something that a modern day basin would be able to do.
Then you would stone it or something.
Right. So, but we are saying that in the absence of a basin, so let's just shecht it and get it out of the way. I assume that that's what this Pesachei Tshuva is driving at. There is. Oh, that's the next second. Sorry. Yeah, there is in Hilchos Tzitzis, this shows up and it gives a psak from the in this we actually does weigh in and give a psak here. Where the what's it doing Hilchos Tzitzis? So in Hilchos in Simen Chaf in Hilchos Tzitzis it says in mochrin talis mitzuyetzas l'ovi kochavim. What is not permitted to sell a talis with tzitzis on to a non-Jew? Why? Shami slave in Yisrael b'derech v'yihargena. That lest they
lest somebody buy it and they convince somebody that they're Jewish and they go ahead and kill them. So v'afilu l'mashkin l'hafkid talis misuyesis l'vikukhavim asurim. Even just to deposit it by them is going to be a problem because they're going to be able to trick somebody. Unless one lives in a period when one doesn't have to worry about this. So the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Zayin comments, says v'ayim b'chai adam shekasav d'latam shema yislave l'ikul l'meifesh asher. The idea that they're going to lend it to somebody, they're going to use it, right? One doesn't have to worry about nowadays. Why? The einam chashudin al shvichas damim. Because we're not chashed non-Jews on shvichas damim. V'latam zona yish lachash. But with regards to the issue of zona, so then one would have to be concerned. Right, the Gemara has that issue as well. That is, the Gemara comments that you can't lend a talis to somebody because of zona. Rashi says that they're going to give it to a zona that's none of a tumah she Yisrael nasan la, and they're going to say that a Jew did it, and therefore, right, the imkain kosher came to us limkul and nafis mitamza. That, you know, what was this? Rashi says that you're going to give it to a zona as a gift, and she's going to say, oh, a Jew used me. And like, therefore, it's okay, or something. Or therefore, some kind of hechsher, or therefore, it's going to look bad for the Jews, or something. Therefore, you shouldn't let talisim get into the hands of non-Jews. So the fear says the chayadam, the fear that they're going to actually use it to kill somebody. So we don't have to worry about that nowadays, because we have Baruch Hashem, we have laws. And that even take the murders of Jews seriously. Now, I'm a little surprised. Chayadam says that Chayadam lived in Lithuania in the late 1700s, right? But that's a little surprising. So certainly today, when the halachas of a concern of shvichas damim doesn't really apply anymore. So that would then explain also the next. Huh, I didn't even notice that before. Do you have a little star and a half moon and a star at the end of your title?
Yes.
Right, so...
Well, I have a parenthesis.
No, I have a parenthesis and a star.
A parenthesis and a star, yeah, half moon and a star.
No. Well, it's a full moon two and a star.
Oh, you have two, okay. So do you see where that goes to?
Esther's star.
So it goes down below here. Kol, Hadinim, Besimon, Kufnim, Gimel.
Yeah. You got it, right? Kufnin Dalad, Kufnin Hey. The next three simanim, Nemu Rakal Zmat HaTalmud, Sha'az Hayu Od Kuchavim Parayim Va'osei Toeva. That's only talking about a time when the non-Jews were Parayim and people did Toevos, these immoral things. Val Ata Kfar Tamu Chatayim Ka'ela, Meirov Medinos Olam. Most of these sins are out of practice. Therefore, we don't have to be chushish for these dinim. It's interesting. None of these dinim?
What do you think wrote that?
Yeah, and that's also who wrote that.
It's acts of censorship, doesn't it?
the antenna is up. Yes. Yeah, I am curious. I am curious, yeah. Okay, I have to look into that. The next.
So I guess I can bring my talis to the Korean cleaners.
That's interesting.
I'm not worried they're going to use it.
I did. I'm not sure I recommend it. We could talk about that later. So they took out all the knots. No. So comes the next halacha here. So interesting halacha. This I also could see not necessarily applying. He says in nizdamin lo b'derach obi kuchavim in gimel. So if you're on the road with a non-Jew, chagur sayif tofu liyamino. So if they have a sword, you should keep them to your right. Because that way you'll be able to, because their sword is probably on their left. So you should keep them to your right, so that if they reach for their sword, you'll be able to grab their sword. Okay? Next, hayolim ba'aliya, o yordim bi'irida, lo yehe yisrael lamata, va'ovi kochav lamala. If you're going... Oh, I'm sorry, in the parentheses it says, however, if they're carrying a stick, you should keep them to your left. Because that way you'll be able to see them. You'll pull out the sticks, so you'll be able to... Actually, how are you going to block them? You want them on your left. Oh, because they're not going to...
they're not going to be able to hit you. They'll only be able to hit you with the backhand. They're not going to be able to hit you with the forehand. I think that's what's going on. So hayolim ba'aliyah, if you're going up a mountain, or yordan b'yirid, they're going down a hill. Lohi hey yisrael lamatav kachav lamala. You should always try to be on the higher ground than the non-Jew. We call makom toflok sasli amino, and also try to be a little bit to the right. Okay. Below yishka lefan of lo'om, never bend down in front of them. And then it says sholo lahichan ataholik. If they ask you where are you, how far are you going? Imayatzarich lelech parsa yomer shte parso sani. If you only need to go a parsa, you should say, I'm going two parsos.
They don't know where you're going.
So, well, also so that they figure, I think with that the pshat is, so they figure, all right, so I'll get them when they're tired in the second mile, but that time they're already off the highway. That's the the trick.
The difference about not bending down?
I think that's because you're afraid of...
You're more vulnerable,
right.
Just in general, not because the Ruviya thing, you're just...
Yeah, so the Ramah then adds in, b'makom shenagu leilach b'merchatz, if a place where people go to the merchatz without pants, avelo mechnasayim, aser leilach l'merchatz sheroch sinbo ovei kochavim. One is not permitted to go to the merchatz, to the bathhouse, when there are non-Jews there, arumim, naked. Avalim ha-Yisrael kvar b'merchatz, that if a Jew is already there, uvo ovei kochavim ein tzarech latzeis. But if a Jew is already there and the non-Jews come in, so you don't have to leave. So it's interesting. The Shach points out that what is this based on? This issue with the them coming in. So the issue is an issue of Tumah V'Tahara that's originally built around an issue of Tumah V'Tahara that they're going to like spit on you or something. You're going to become, and there's an issue of assumption of Tumah by non-Jews. So he says in the middle of it, nowadays that Tumah V'Tahara isn't knowing anymore, we're not careful about their spits and their midrash, so also we don't have to be worried about the bathhouse either. So the Shach crosses this out, but it might be a minute chasidus even to still be concerned about it.
So now the spit of a non-Jew is tumah?
Yeah. There's a gezeira of it being tumah, meaning it's not a deraisa, I don't believe it's tumah, it would only be a din derabanan. And then finally, the last halacha in the Shulchan Aruch in this section is Tisyachid Yisrael Lisimovi Kochavim Afiluhem Rabim V'Nishosehem Imahem. That one should not be misyachid with a Jewish woman should not be misyachid with a non-Jew, even if there are many of them. V'Nishoseha Imahem, and their wives are with them. So that is why we spoke about Hilchos Yichud this past Shabbos with Mincha Maariv. So this is more stringent than our general Hilchos Yichud, right? Generally, a woman is permitted to be with two men because the other man will tell on the first one. So if it's with non-Jews, it's even many of them. And the other heter is if a husband's wife is there. So that also abolishes the Yisur of Yichud. So comes that doesn't apply to non-Jews, that by non-Jews one still has to be concerned about the Yisur of Yichud. So I'm wondering, that addition, whoever put that addition in, does that apply to this also? I know you got to do a little bit of research of that over the course of the week and get back on that. All right.